Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. No matter your occupation, whether you work for a big company or you're a small business owner, everyone wants to keep as much of their earnings as possible. I specialize in tax minimization strategies and retirement planning that'll help you build a strong financial future for you and your future generations. Call me, Mike Veneria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, the question is, what will happen with the spending bill? We're going to have details for you as soon as they come out. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It's great to have you. Great to have you back with us today for another exciting adventure into our happy hour. Brought to you by the Grand Hotel of KMA, New Jersey, where I will be tomorrow. And you will be there with us. The Zeoli Show live Christmas spectacular at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. So please join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll have some craziness ensue, no doubt about it. Eric Adams got indicted, as you know. And as I've told you, this is a weaponized Department of Justice. We live in a police state. Now, apparently, Hakeem Jeffries said that when the Biden administration, when he criticized the Biden administration, they stopped talking to them. There's a big story in the Wall Street Journal today about how they've been actually covering up Joe Biden's cognitive decline since day number one. Day one. Oh, yeah. Yesterday, there was that Time story, but in the Wall Street Journal story today, day number one, they knew Joe Biden was so bad, they used COVID as an excuse, but they eventually started putting him in an insulated bubble, keeping him away from people because he was forgetting things all the time and forgetting where to go. You know, you'd see him shake hands with the invisible man. You'd see him like stand on stage and move to the left, move to the right, didn't know where he was going. All of that's in the Wall Street Journal article today about how aides in the White House now are spilling all this. So now you have Chris Cillizza from the Washington Post apologizing for his lack of coverage on Joe Biden's cognitive decline. These people are amazing, aren't they? The freaking gaslighting by this government, by the corporate media, by big tech, except for X, telling us Joe Biden was fine, everything was fine, don't believe your eyes, he's not shaking hands with the invisible man, he's not talking to Winston Churchill, he's fine. The gaslighting by these people never ceases to amaze me. But I'll come back to that. Eric Adams talked about how when he criticized the Biden administration, that was it. And I told you, that's why he got indicted. Because Democrats are fine with corruption. They'll put up with corruption as long as you want to be corrupt, be corrupt. Knock yourself out. The minute you cross them, watch out. They'll use what they have against you. Absolutely. 100%. Here's Eric Adams, cut 21.
Action that you got at the White House when you asked for help.
When we saw the numbers coming in, we were getting at one time almost 8,000 a week, 16,000 every 2 weeks. I mean, we could just do the math, unsustainable. And at that time, the right to shelter, we were being sued by advocates that required us to give everyone a bed by a certain number of times. We were getting buses 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. And we reached out to the White House, 10 trips to Washington, D.C., asking them for help in securing the border and stopping this flow. I went down to El Paso and also went down to the Darien Gap, and I saw the flow and the threat that we were receiving. We didn't get the support. We got $200 million out of a $6.5 billion deficit. And so many people believe that, okay, Eric, it's in your rearview mirror. It happened already. You got 170,000 out. No, the damage that we are going to see long term from spending $6.5 billion. $200 million could have gone to those chronically absent children. We could have put hundreds of millions of dollars into the senior care, helping people with medical debt relief. So when you start to look at the long term impact of the services we did not provide, it's going to start materializing in the years to come. That is the destruction that I was talking about.
All right. And what happened? He got indicted. Yeah. And you're dead to me. You're dead to me, Eric Adams. That's how this works. That's how the game works. You be as corrupt as you want, as long as you play ball. That's ultimately how they got Joe Biden out of the race, as I've told you before. You know, in that article in the Wall Street Journal, they talk about how they were able to hide all this from everybody, Biden's cognitive decline, until that debate. Remember what I said on Fox News that Monday when I was talking to Mike Emanuel? I said, Mike, why are we doing a debate in the middle of the summer? I just dropped three kids. Well, that was mid, early, late summer at the time. But I just dropped three kids off at summer camp. Mike, what are we doing here? And I said, isn't it possible this debate is a setup so they can show how bad Joe Biden is? Everybody can witness his cognitive decline and they can swap him out of the convention. Sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Because they had the Hunter Biden laptop, they had evidence of his corruption. They were able to use that to get Biden out of the race. Otherwise, Biden never would have left. They would have kept hiding it. The media only came clean about his cognitive decline when it was decided that he had to go. That's it. Up until that moment, these people were gaslighting the S out of us every single day. So in a moment, I'll play you Chris Saliz's apology. I just sent it to you, Matt, but it's you read the comments underneath. Thanks to John Kensel for sending it my way. It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. But for now, the media is also doing another gaslighting game. This is what they're doing. They're trying to let everybody believe that Elon Musk and Donald Trump, well, there's problems. You know, there's problems. They're trying to do division here. So here's CNN's Jim Acosta and little Brian Stelter, who's back. Yes, back. And I think he's got prom coming up. So he's very, very excited about that. His voice is so high and crackly, he makes Matt DeSantis' laugh sound manly.
Why did I have to take a shot?
Here's CNN's, here's cut number four.
Fresh and innovative ideas. That is a part of what makes government better. But Musk, this unelected figure who has this enormous amount of power, it sometimes seems as if he's just starting to learn how the government functions. And as a result, some of his ex posts are completely false. And by the way, it's not just me saying it. Representative Dan Crenshaw, a Republican lawmaker, tweeted to Musk last night and said, I love you, Elon, but you need to take 5 seconds to check your sources before highlighting bottom feeders looking for clicks. You know, Musk likes to post anonymous accounts that are spreading misinformation. And let's recognize a lot of people have benefited from Musk. You know, the Tesla stock has been on a tear.
Can we pause this for a second? But keep it going. Can you just pause the video? I want to analyze something here. Are you able to do that? Let's see. Here we go. Is it me or is purple a bad color on Brian Stelter? I don't want to be a little catty here. That's all right. Look at the size of that tie. It's like a wide tie from the 70s. You see that? And his head, it looks like a pumpkin, doesn't it? I mean, this is not a good look. I'm sorry. But the purple, giant purple tie, and he's got like a little body with like a giant bulbous head. You see what I'm talking about?
I mean, I don't want to disagree with you, but is there any color that's going to look great on Brian Stelter?
Probably not.
Not a handsome guy.
Not a handsome guy. And what's going on with the little, like, I mean, you're bald, dude, right? But he's still going with the side hair thing?
Well, I think his biggest issue is, isn't he like 39 or 38, something. Yeah. He's in his late 30s, I think.
Yeah.
He looks like he's in his mid-50s.
No, he looks like he's in his early 70s. He looks like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Look at this guy. With a wide tie, he's got a big, bulbous, wide head, so the wide tie makes the wide head look even wider. And then that friggin' voice, you know what I mean? That friggin' voice.
Justin,
I mean, Elon Musk with his misinformation. What?
Justin just confirmed. 39. He hasn't even hit 40 yet.
That dude looks like that, and he's not even 40. Oh, man. Life has not been kind to Brian Stelter. Little Brian Stelter. What is the dude going to look like? You know, if you actually did a projection of what Brian Stelter is going to look like when Brian Stelter's 60, he looks like Brian Stelter right now.
Maybe he's like Benjamin Button and he's just aging backwards.
Oh, man. That is so funny.
Justin just pulled up a photo from 2009. He looks better now than he did then. Somehow.
Maybe he is aging backwards.
Maybe he is, yeah.
Maybe that's why his voice is so high, because he's going backwards and hitting puberty and going through puberty in reverse. They should give him a puberty blocker and see if it works. Try it out. I don't know.
His wife's actually good looking, too. None of this makes sense.
Well, I don't believe that for a second. She's good looking?
Yeah. Well, I Googled Brian Stelter and his spouse popped up. Yeah. Makes no sense.
Well, maybe he has deep pockets. I don't know.
Well, didn't CNN fire him? I guess he's back now, but
yeah, he's back. Thank God he's back. Their ratings have doubled. They're now up to 12 viewers. All right, keep going with the clip.
A lot of people have benefited from Musk. You know, the Tesla stock has been on a tear lately. Lots of CEOs going to Mar-a-Lago. They're probably jealous of Musk right now, both because of his relationship to Trump and because of the performance of Tesla and Musk's other companies. So there's a lot Musk can bring to government. But his behavior on X and his influence over the spending bill, it also shows how misinformation is at work here, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, for all the talk of calling people fake news and so on, we can put this up on screen. He says the bill contained a 40% pay increase for members of Congress. I don't know if we can put that up there or not. There's a cost of living increase in it, but nothing as high as what he said. So to Dan Crenshaw's point, Elon Musk is spreading fake news. On this, he is fake news.
We did the math ourselves. It was a 40% raise. We did the math. How is that fake news? The new bill, I think, is a COLA adjustment, but the other one showed what the salary change was going to be. And that was reported in multiple news outlets, wasn't it, Matt? We talked about this yesterday in the show.
Yeah, I think it was like 39.6% was, I mean, I didn't read the bill, so I don't know exactly, but off the top of my head, the number that was being reported, I think, was an increase from about 170 to 240.
Like 240.
Yeah.
By the way, Dan Crenshaw is getting killed on social media today. Getting killed, murdered on social media for, I guess, saying that Congress deserves a raise. Oof, it's not going well. It's not going well for him. There's actually something trending right now that Crenshaw is having a meltdown. Like, the Crenshaw meltdown is a thing. So this is what he just tweeted out. So this guy, Nick Sorter, tweets out, new DC sources tell me that Dan Crenshaw is spearheading the effort to get a pay raise for Congress. Last week, when he was asked about his stock trading, Crenshaw whined that members of Congress haven't had a pay increase since 2009. So he quotes that guy and says the following. Yeah, or maybe you're an effing lying piece of S, because I'm not even on the yes list for the whip team. Never have been. But hey, whatever gets you pathetic bottom feeders your clickbait, effing incels. Wow. Okay. There you go. Interesting. This is fun to watch. So we'll follow that for you, too, as everything goes on. But let me mention why I'm happy. I'm happy because tomorrow we'll be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. 3 to 7 p.m. We're going to have a lot of fun. Join us. And think about your New Year's Eve plans, too. If you don't have any New Year's Eve plans, you want to do something really fun, go to Cape May. The Grand Hotel has an amazing New Year's Eve package, which includes a 5-hour open bar, hors d'oeuvres, surf and turf dinner, champagne toast at midnight, and dancing. So you'll have a wonderful wonderful time. Beautiful, beautiful ballroom. That's where we'll be tomorrow for the show. So just go to Grand Hotel Cape May for all the details. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And in addition to that, there's this clip I want to share with you as well on this issue of them trying to, well, you know, let me do this. Do we have the clip of, yeah, we do. All right. So Chris Saliza of the Washington Post wants to apologize to you for not covering more. Now that this big Wall Street Journal's article's out there and the New York Times wrote about it yesterday, now that everybody's talking about how all these aides in the White House work to hide Biden's cognitive decline, what you've seen, what I've seen, what we've all seen, the gaslighting. Now people like Chris Saliza want to apologize to you. All right? Take a listen.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline. So let me explain. Joe Biden was president from 2020 to 2024. I worked at CNN through 2022. During that time, the early part when I was at CNN, 2020 to 2022, people would regularly, Republicans would regularly ping me and say, why don't you ask more questions to Joe Biden and how he's doing? He's 76, 77, 78-year-old man. And I would sort of brush them off because what I would say is, well, there's no obvious evidence that he's declining. Yeah, he moves a little slower. He talks a little slower, but there's no evidence that he's declining. And the White House and the people around Joe Biden were absolutely adamant that suggesting anything.
So you've probably seen this weird flexible.
Now, let me just say here that I'm not going to make you listen to this whole entire clip because it's painful. But here's the key. All right. The White House was telling them, and because the corporate media is part of the unholy triad, along with the government and big tech, except for Elon, they would just go out there and repeat it and do the bidding of the government. See, investigative journalism would have dictated that they would go out and they would find out for themselves whether or not Joe Biden had cognitive decline, right? They wouldn't just take the government's word for it because you're doing what? Journalism, right? But they refused to do that. So what did they do? They gaslit us. They gaslit all of us. And that's what they did for years. And so now for him to come out and apologize about it and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I should have done a better job. I really should have paid attention more. I really should have said something. The lies that are said by these people all the time. I'll give you another one. So you know, this week, Representative Barry Loudermilk's committee has come out and talked about it's the subcommittee investigating the January 6th committee. And I spent a lot of time with you earlier in the week. And Matt, you missed this, but I did a big monologue on the gallows and how nobody was charged with that. If you missed it, it's a podcast for you. Go back and take a listen to it. But I did a whole impassioned monologue on this because it seems to me like that'd be the first thing you would do if you're law enforcement is go after whoever set up a gallows to try to hang Vice President Mike Pence. It was all BS. That's the whole point. Well, Barry Loudermilk now tells us that he has proof the FBI lied when it claimed that the phone data needed to identify the January 6th pipe bomber was corrupted. The pipe bombing thing was always something that seemed very odd as well. In addition to having a gallows on the lawn of the Capitol, where it's illegal to build any structure, and then they just threw it out in the trash, and nobody was ever charged, even though all their faces are there. But a grandma going to use the bathroom gets charged. The other thing was this whole idea of a pipe bomb. They said there were pipe bombs outside the RNC and the DNC. The vice president-elect at the time, Kamala Harris, was inside the DNC. But nobody was evacuated, and there was no, like, radio call about it. There were no radio calls about the gallows either. So now as all the details come out about all these confidential human informants, sources, whatever, assets, whatever, that were used by the FBI on January 6th, it begs the question, how much was the government involved here? You know, how much of this was like the Michigan Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot, right? Here's Representative Barry Loudermilk with Glenn Beck earlier today. Take a listen.
And then you have the aggressiveness of the FBI, which we've made this point in the report, is the FBI will go to great lengths using video footage to find a grandma who goes into the Capitol, prays, and then leaves, or yep, someone like the person you were talking about who just happened to be out there, and charge them with crimes But yet they have no idea who placed the pipe bombs.
That's not true.
And part of that is because they pulled resources away from that investigation. And then, as we released in this report, they lied about the evidence that they had or supposedly had regarding the pipe bomber. They told us that, well, the identity of the pipe bomber is within data that we received from a major cell phone carrier that was corrupt, and then we couldn't we couldn't get it because they
was
didn't.
That not true?
That turned out to be a lie. No, it is not.
Oh, my
true.
Gosh.
We've been investigating that. Obviously, it's kind of easy to find who the perpetrators are now because they all retired recently. Once we started this investigation, you've seen a lot of retirement. Wow. This was the field office director here in Washington, D.C., told the Select Committee on January 6th, well, we were investigating and we subpoenaed all the major carriers, but one carrier, the data they provided us was corrupted, and that's the data that the pipe bomber would be in. So we took that. We went to the three major carriers, asked them all, and we kind of knew which one it was, but didn't want to reveal it because we wanted to see what we could find out. All three of them said, yes, we were subpoenaed by the FBI. We did provide data. All three of them said the FBI never came back to us and asked for the data again, telling us it was corrupted. And then the last question I asked was, do you still have the data? And all of them said, yes, we keep data for every major event. And in fact, the one carrier said, we still have all the data from the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, my gosh.
So that agent absolutely lied because he
now
said
the
data was corrupted and we couldn't get it because it was no longer available.
Now, the gaslighting that occurs in this administration, and this is why this bombshell story about the Wall Street Journal is so important. The efforts to conceal Joe Biden's cognitive decline go all the way back to 2020. In fact, in the article, they talk about how Dr. Jill Biden was out there on campaign events more than Joe Biden was. And they made a point of saying that back then in 2020. Now, the argument early on was we got to keep Joe Biden safe from COVID because Joe Biden is not that good. I mean, he's health wise. We got to make sure he's an old man, you know, so you got to keep him away from COVID. That wasn't real. Joe Biden's had COVID like 10 times. It was never about that. They used that as the excuse. So they kept a very tight bubble around Biden during the campaign, kept him essentially in the basement. And then after COVID went away, because they kept Biden in this isolated bubble again, that was their strategy. Keep him away from senior officials, keep him away from cabinet secretaries, just keep Biden away from everybody. Because they were hiding all of Biden's cognitive decline. Everybody knew the guy had freaking lost it. They knew this even when he was a candidate. But they had to cover the whole thing up because they had to stop Trump. And they thought he was the only one that could do it. And of course, then they would work to cheat and, you know, use the Hunter Biden laptop story as the tool and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and everything else that they did. But ultimately, the biggest election interference would be the Hunter Biden laptop. But they knew Biden was not with it, even back then. It wasn't like Biden was with it in 2020, but they were able to hide him because of COVID. But then the strategy became, as he's president, COVID goes away, keep him insulated, keep around, and keep people away from him. So this is one of the greatest, in my opinion, greatest political cover-ups and scandals of our lifetime, of our lifetime. You have White House officials who work to ensure that you, me, the American people, were being lied to about the mental status of our president, the commander in chief, the one person who has the ability to launch nuclear missiles and that no one can override. Do you realize that about the power of the presidency? Sometimes people don't believe this when I say it. The president of the United States of America is the only person authorized to launch nuclear missiles. Now, there is a protocol, obviously, if something happens to the president, if there's an attack, but there's no one who can override the president. So theoretically, then, if Joe Biden were to, you know, like lose his freaking marbles and order a nuclear strike, under the law, the way it's written, if you don't go along with it, then you go to prison. Because the whole point is that during an exchange, we don't have time for debate. We don't have time to question whether or not this is real. You're told to launch, you hit launch. So this guy who's got pudding brain and the White House telling us and all these people telling us and then the media telling us, too. Oh, no, 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 no. You remember Joe Scarborough yelling at you, yelling at me? This is the best version of Joe Biden we've ever seen. F you if you think otherwise. You remember that? Yeah, you do. You remember Joe Scarborough joining in the fun? And everybody said the same thing. You know what they said? Joe Biden's great. Joe Biden's fine. This is amazing. If the president was having an off day, meetings would be scrapped altogether. On one such occasion, in the spring of 2021, a national security official explained to another aide why a meeting needed to be rescheduled. Quote, he has good days and bad days, and today was a bad day, so we're going to address this tomorrow. Wow. Wow. This is the guy who can order nuclear codes. I mean, a nuclear launch. Here's something else, too, which I found very, very interesting about all this. Since 2021, Biden officials would cancel his national security meetings based on whether he's having a good day or bad day, according to Wall Street Journal. In August of 2021, Chris Cillizza and his CNN analysis, the same jackass you heard apologize in that thing, says GOP questions about Biden's fitness are, quote, gross, lowest common denominator politics. Republicans keep trying to make Biden's mental capacity an issue. This was written on CNN Politics, August 19th of 2021. And the subline of that is the point. Quote, this is the sort of gross, lowest common denominator politics that drive people away from public life. If Republicans have some sort of proof that Biden is declining, they should bring it forward. If they don't, they should stop doing what they're doing immediately. So it's being covered up by the White House, Biden's decline. Now, Chris Cillizza apologizes and says, I should have pushed harder on the very real questions about Joe Biden's physical and mental health as president. But remember, the cover-up was there the entire time. The reason why I said to Mike Emanuel over the summer, Mike, why are we doing a debate in June? I just dropped three kids to summer camp. It's because that was the point where they couldn't hide it anymore, was that debate. But the point was, why put him out on stage? If you're canceling meetings, if you're telling people as early as 2021 he has good days and bad days, if you're trying to keep Biden hidden, why would you put him on the debate stage? Well, the answer is obvious. It's everything I said. Because they reached the point where they said, we got to get this guy out of the race. So we need to show the world what we all know. And remember what happened that night. The night of the first debate between Trump and Biden, the one and only debate between Trump and Biden in this election cycle, within minutes of the debate ending, what happened? You turned on CNN or MSNBC or ABC News or any of them, and they were all saying the same thing, right? What did we just watch? We just watched Joe Biden. This isn't fair. This man needs to leave the race. Oh, my God. Poor Joe Biden. Oh. Day before that, they were all going along with Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House fembot, telling all of us what? Joe Biden's great. Joe Biden's fine. And if you say otherwise, you're engaging in mean, ugly politics. Remember? Debate happens within seconds of the debate ending. Oh, my, oh, my. What did we just watch on that stage tonight? Joe Biden cannot continue as the candidate. The whole thing was a scam. The whole entire thing was a cover-up. Until they decided back when, well, it was, I mean, October of 2023 when David Axelrod went on that tweet storm. But it was at that point over the summer, they said, Joe Biden's got to go. The godfather, Barack Obama, orders it, orders the hit, so to speak, the political hit. They put Biden on that debate stage. The same people that were protecting him in the White House put him on that debate stage. The world sees it. The media says he's got to go. Joe Biden is a stubborn SOB, though, and he's not going anywhere. There's a great friend of mine named Tom Azelby. He's going to be actually filling in for Kale and Company on January 1st on New Year's Day. I hope you'll tune in that morning. I'll be tuning in every morning, of course. There's a lot of great fill-in hosts who'll be on for all of us between now and the end of until we come back from break. But Tom's a great guy. Anyway, he has a podcast called the Old Gravy Podcast, and he's been a friend of mine for a while. We smoke cigars and drink bourbon together, and we had this conversation once about Biden being stubborn. Stubborn SOB. So me and Tom and another mutual friend of ours, Mike, who doesn't like when I say his last name, we had this whole little bet going about whether Biden would drop out. And Tom's point at the time was, he's a stubborn Irish SOB. He's not going anywhere. And I was like, all right, look, I normally would agree with you if it wasn't for the Hunter Biden laptop. If the Hunter Biden laptop didn't exist, I would agree. It's not that you're wrong. He is. He's a stubborn SOB. But they have the evidence of the corruption. And just like I told you with Eric Adams or Bob Menendez or whoever, they're fine with you being corrupt. Make all the money you want. But you cross us and we'll use it against you. So they went to Joe Biden, and that's when the Pod Save America bros went on that big, lengthy tweet storm and said, Joe Biden has a choice here. It's either preserve your legacy or you're done. The subtext was very, very clear. You're going to lose either way. You got two choices. Door A. You walk through door A, and we expose your corruption. Everybody knows the truth about you. You lose either way, and you may owe taxes, maybe criminal penalties as well. Door number B. Everybody lauds you as a hero who saved America from Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. That's the only way they got him out of the race. So the whole thing was a cover up. And journalists like Chris Saliza, the guy's a freaking loser, a loser who is in on it with the government and the unholy triad of covering up for Joe Biden. They were in on this scandal together. Because the corporate media exists to do the bidding of the Democrat Party and the Democrat government. Period. Earlier this week, Chris Saliza tweeted the following. The ABC News settlement with Donald Trump is an incredibly dangerous precedent and undermines journalists doing their job. Which, of course, is insane because it's dangerous to not allow George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist, to call Trump a racist. A rapist, excuse me. Like, that's okay to go out there and multiple times say the former president of the United States of America, who's the Republican nominee for president, is a rapist when he was not found guilty of rape. That's okay. These guys are a joke. But this big story in The Wall Street Journal about Biden's cognitive decline proves everything we've suspected. It was a cover-up. They were in on the cover-up. The media was in on the cover-up. And when it got time where they had to take him out, they had a way to take him out, just like I told you they would. Every prediction I made about that came true. Every single one of it. And I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm telling you, I mean, sort of to brag a little bit, but also because I know how valuable your time is. So I want to make sure you know you're spending it wisely. Wisely by investing your time with me and this amazing show, this amazing Zioli Army, this amazing experience. And I want to see you in person tomorrow at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Coming up, we got some great clips for you of the Fat Czar of San Francisco and the Superman trailer's out. We got a lot of fun stuff to get to. So DuckDuckGo is going to help you protect your privacy online. And one of the things you want to have is your personal information removed for good. That's right. That's what will happen with DuckDuckGo. Privacy Pro, a 3-in-1 privacy solution for you. And you get a 30-day free trial right now if you go to duckduckgo.com/1210. Duckduckgo.com/1210. Do it right now. Sign up. You'll see how valuable it is. You're going to have a secure VPN so your data is protected end-to-end. Personal information removal. So whatever is about you online, your address, phone number, email, gone. And identity theft restoration if, God forbid, your identity is ever stolen. That's right. So do what I did and sign up for the 30-day free trial today. You'll see how easy it is to use and this level of protection for $10 a month. Are you kidding me? In this day and age of hackers and scammers, you need this level of protection. So please do it now. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. 30-day free trial. DuckDuckGo.com/1210.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty. Yeah, baby. Another update. What do we got, DeSantis? What's the update from Maya Miller?
Yeah. All the updates, they're not great. So the first one is from Katie Edmondson from the New York Times, and she says there wasn't much optimism about the fate of this bill from one House Republican, and that House Republican was Rich McCormick of Georgia. He said, "I have a feeling it's going to fail spectacularly."
Interesting.
And then Maya Miller is reporting that Democrats emerged from their closed-door meeting and told reporters that they were united to vote against the new Republican proposal. Which isn't surprising, but
yeah.
the fact that a Republican is sort of suggesting it's not going to even make it out of the House, that's a bad sign.
You know, I got an email from our buddy Richard in Walla Walla, Washington about the Congress pay raises. It wasn't a COLA adjustment. It wasn't that Congress would start getting COLA. They were talking about, I mean, this is what Elon and Vivek were talking about, a 40% increase in their pay. That didn't just make that up. So I think again they're playing games with us on this point. They wanted to sneak in a huge pay increase, and it wasn't a simple COLA adjustment. It was that wouldn't have made any news. The text was there. They didn't make it up. I mean, it showed the analysis showed what the not what the past, if you had added all those up, would be. It showed what Congress was going to get paid. I think we're getting played here on this. I really do. I think that now they're turning around and going, oh, no, we just because they know that there's no way they could give that kind of a pay increase. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that members of Congress would want to pay themselves $240,000 a year. President makes $475,000 or something, I think, like that. So. But, I mean, I talked to Congressman Kamik about it today. I mean, that was the number that they were all being told was a 40% increase. So I think now we're getting the games of, oh, no, we just meant a COLA increase. And if we had gotten all those COLA increases, that's what it would have been. Stop. A COLA increase, a cost of living adjustment of 3% or something like that, well, nobody would have batted an eye about that. Literally nobody would have batted an eye. And all you would have had to do was put in there one line that says Congress will now start receiving cost of living adjustments. That wouldn't have made it. It wouldn't have been an issue. So don't fall for this whole notion of like, oh, as Richard's like, we're getting ahead of our skis here. Nah, I don't think so. I think we're being played here again with this. They got caught trying to sneak in a massive pay increase, and now it's like, oh no, silly. We just wanted a simple 3.2% cost of living adjustment, like we give with Social Security, right? Then that's just one line of a bill. Congress shall start receiving cost of living adjustments relative to Social Security COLA adjustments. There you go. That's all that is. Okay, that's a freaking line. That doesn't cause the kind of reaction that what happened yesterday. So, you know, I guess the only thing I can say to you is you have to make a determination if you believe these lying members of Congress, or you believe Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, because, I mean, they're the ones who did the analysis of this. So, but now it'll be a cost of living adjustment. And no one will care. No one will care, by the way, if Congress gets a cost of living adjustment. Like, no one will blink an eye. No one will bat an eye. No one will care. No one will care. A lot of people get cost of living adjustments, but it will not be an issue. If the bill dies, it's not going to be because of that. Because, again, nobody's going to care if they get a 3% increase. All right. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. I could be wrong. I didn't read the bill. It's 1,500 pages. Not a lot of people did. I have to rely on the people that did. But I also know spin when I hear it. And I think this is spin to try to get out of what they tried to do. I think this is spin. There was so much crap in this bill. Like, for example, they went through this, right? And this is something pretty amazing. Representative Nancy Mace went through the bill. Section 102, page 947, redefines homeless individuals to individuals experiencing homelessness. Section 102 of the original bill, page 947, redefines homeless children to children experiencing homelessness. Section 111, page 958, redefines out-of-school ute to opportunity ute. Section 111, page 958, redefines low-skilled adults to adults with foundational skills needs. Section page 1398 redefines criminal offenders in criminal institutions and for institutional individuals to now be referred to as justice-involved individuals in correctional institutions. So you go from being a criminal offender in a criminal institute. This is in the continuing resolution, the original bill. You go from being a criminal offender in a criminal institution to a justice-involved individual in a correctional institution. Section 208, page 1400, redefines criminal offender to justice-involved individual. Again, in the CR. A provision that allows lawmakers to opt out of Obamacare and use the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program instead. Language on transparency and concert ticket pricing. The federal government paying the entire bill to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge, $8 billion. Accountability for recycling and composting fraud. Paying for juvenile delinquents to get their driver's licenses. No longer calling homeless adults and children homeless. Extending a sheep marketing grant program until 2025. The Global Engagement Center, the State Department's office dedicated to censorship, will get another year of funding. Spending $3 million, and also the bill included $3 million to test the inspection of molasses. So, those are just some of the goodies and highlights in there. But, you know, I know gaslighting and I know spin when I hear it. And this whole pay raise spin about it just being a simple minor cost of living adjustment. Like, stop. Like, I don't buy that for a moment. All right. What's fat? Should we do some fat shaming? Not fat shaming. Should we do the Fat Czar of San Francisco or Superman trailer? What do we want to do first?
They're both so good. I don't know.
All right, let me do the Superman trailer first. Then we'll do the Fat Czar of San Francisco, because I'm very, very excited about this. And obviously, I haven't made a superhero reference in quite some time. Now, I'm going to tell you two things about this trailer. Number one, it uses the original music from the John, I think it was it John Williams who did the score in 1978, I believe, for the Superman movie?
John Williams does the score for everything, so that makes sense.
Yeah, probably makes sense, right? Now, here's a little fun fact about the Superman movie. It was written by Mario Puzo. Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather. That's right. Warner Brothers hired him to write Superman, which is why it's such a freaking great movie. And who did he use to play the character of Jor-El, Superman's father? Marlon Brando. It's a great movie also because it has Lex Luthor in it, played by Gene Hackman. Yeah! Oh, it was a good movie back then. Great movie. I think the original Superman was a fantastic movie. Didn't take itself too seriously, but it was a serious movie at the same time, but it was a lot of fun. Anyway, here's the trailer for the new Superman movie, which is coming out next year, directed by James Gunn, who's the guy who did the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Very talented director. This gives me hope because I like the fact that they're returning Superman to his roots. He's even got the red underwear over the pants again. Like the Superman character used to have. Superman is our American hero, baby. He's our American guy. He's our guy. He's our superhero. So, all right, take a watch. I'll describe this for you. Superman falls to the earth, and he's bleeding from his mouth, and he's got a black eye, all right? And he looks like he just got into a huge, huge fight. All right? And he's looking around, and then all of a sudden, you see what looks to be like a dog. All right? He's bleeding. He's lying there. And they also show him as Clark Kent walking into the Daily Planet. And then you hear the music. See? Then you see Lois Lane with a cup of coffee. Beautiful actress for Lois Lane. And the guy playing Clark Kent looks just like him. And then it says the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy. Then they show Smallville, Clark Kent with his father, Jonathan Kent with his arm around him. All right? Great adoption story, too, Superman. This summer, you see Superman lying. Then he whistles. Ready? Wait for it. Wait for it. You see something coming in the snow? Something coming in the snow? See snow piling up, piling up, piling up, piling up? It says it begins on the screen.
Home. Take me home.
And Crypto grabs Superman and brings him back to the Fortress of Solitude. Then it shows Superman fighting villains. Lex Luthor makes his appearance in the trailer. Superman breaks out of some sort of glass cage. You see some sort of war going on with some kid holding up a Superman flag. Somebody throws something in the back of Superman's head, probably some Antifa jackass. And then a bunch of various villains start showing up. Clark and Lois have a little kiss. A building falls. Superman fights a bunch of people. Superman flies with Lois Lane. And then you see Lois and Superman hugging it out. July 11th. And I'm telling you something right now. That's the first movie I've been excited about in a very, very long time. I can't wait to take Patrick to see that. See, we have a bond about Superman. Patrick has a sign in his room that says Superman is adopted. I actually think the Superman adoption story is so cool. I really do. And for kids who are adopted, that's always like one of the things. Like we watched that early, very, very young. And there's been different takes on Superman's adoption. As much as I hated the Man of Steel, I liked the movie Man of Steel, but they did a really good job of that, of him and his father, Jonathan Kent, and his birth father. That's what we, in the adoption world, that's what we refer to Jor-El. But anyway, then the movie got stupid. By the end, you know, stupid. But that, you know, as a dad, like, I'm genuinely excited. This looks like a movie I'll take my kid to, my son. Doesn't that the trailer look good? Looks good, right, guys?
Looks great. I don't even like superhero movies, but I'll see this.
Right?
Fantastic. I'm very much excited to see this.
Nicholas Holt's great in everything, too. The guy who's playing Lex Luthor. Actually, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but Juror Number 2 was Clint Eastwood's last film, supposedly, that he's going to direct. Amazing. I highly recommend it. But Holt, great in that movie as well.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah, no, that looks... I had chills when I watched that trailer this morning. The Scope Brothers sent it to me, and I had chills. I'm like, this is going to be good. So if you get a chance to watch it, if you weren't watching on YouTube, it's definitely worth watching. I'll tell you a movie not to go see with your kids, though. Ready? Don't go see Red One with your kids or watch it streaming at home like we did. We made that mistake. So this was a cool concept for a movie. Santa Claus gets kidnapped, and they have to go rescue Santa Claus, right? Cool concept. The Rock's in it. Chris Evans. I'm like, all right, good cast, you know? There's so much cursing in the movie, though. And they even do that slap fight thing that I guess is all this internet rage. And it's completely not appropriate for little kids. Bridget gave me so many dirty looks during that movie. She's like, why are we watching this with the children? I'm like, I don't know. It's Santa. I thought it was a kid's movie. When you hear Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon later. I filled in for him today. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. And Abby Hornacek was on the show with me today. She's got a new Fox Nation special about Santa Claus. And we talked about the various Santa Claus movies. And we talked about Red One and some of the other ones. So tune in to hear that later. The Jimmy Fallon show starting at 7 o'clock with yours truly filling in for Jimmy from 7 to 10. All right, let's show the fat czar of San Francisco. So now give us a little background on this, Matt.
I don't have a ton of background on it, honestly. This is just a woman who was supposedly the weight czar of San Francisco, and she's discussing cake oppression.
Cake oppression,
yes.
Okay? Cake oppression by the fat czar of San Francisco, who was hired now by the Department of Health in San Francisco to make people who are fat feel good about being fat, even though it's not healthy for you. I'm sorry, calorically challenged. You can't say fat. That's fat shaming.
And to be clear, weight czar, not fat czar.
I'm sorry, weight czar. I had that wrong. I'm sorry, weight czar.
Yes.
The weight czar.
The weight czar.
Listen, I was a chubby kid, and my buddy Eric Ford, who's lost 40-something pounds, said it was because of my bullying that he lost weight. So he's going to be a healthy guy now. Look at that. He looks great, too. Fantastic. I mean, he's not that good looking of a guy, but I mean, as best as he can look, you know? Anyway, here's the weight czar of San Francisco. Go ahead.
CRFI. If you're like many women, you've been to a birthday party or a small office gathering, an event that's meant to bring people together. There's swinging tunes, some adult beverages, and good convo. And then it comes time to cut the cake, and someone decides to ruin everything.
Oh my God, that slice is huge. That slice is bigger than Beyonce's paycheck. Can you cut me half of that?
A cake-related fatphobic incident, or CRFI, is that moment when it's time to eat delicious cake and it's interrupted by a moralizing impulse. Inevitably, there's always someone at the party who has to declare publicly that their slice is too large and that the person who's cutting the cake, almost invariably a woman, must do some disproportionate amount of labor in order to accommodate their need to feel superior. Let's take a look.
Can you do a little bit, just like, can you like scrape all the frosting off and cut it in half and give me two forks because I'm sharing?
A cake-related fat phobe incident. Do you know, according to this lunatic, you're not allowed to talk about food at work or exercise at work because these things are triggers to people. Did you know that?
Yeah, insane.
That's right. We got a little bit more of the fat czar. I'm sorry, the weight czar. The weight czar. This is why eating less cake is oppression, part two. This is from our friends over at Libs at TikTok, or Wokeness, excuse me. Take a listen.
Let's take a step back and view what's happening through a critical feminist lens. CRFIs typically happen in environments where there are primarily or exclusively women. Women are disproportionately negatively affected by diet culture because diet culture maps onto sexism. Like many parts of diet culture, there is a significant performance component. You have to show others that you are being good. Controlling how much you eat is part of what it means to be a, quote, good woman. This kind of behavior is a way for people to keep other people in check through food moralizing, surveillance, and policing. These are the mechanisms that are at the core of diet culture and weight control. The idea that you can position yourself as superior to others through self-control and self-denial is super sexist. CRFIs have a history of creating a hierarchy among women and ultimately in maintaining misogynist expectations.
So you don't want to... So you want another piece of cake? I'm confused. Happy to get you another piece. Do you want a piece of cake or not? I'm confused. What do I do here to be a not fat shaming unfeminist guy? Do I give you an extra piece, a bigger piece, more frosting?
I think she makes some good points. I agree with her. I don't want my cake to have the frosting lopped off, and I want a generous slice. Stop fat shaming me. I want a big piece of cake.
Yeah, no, totally agree.
I'm on her side.
Could you imagine seeing her at a restaurant when she yells at the waiter that piece of cake is not big enough? And are you accusing me of fat shaming, you feminist pig? Be like, or no, you sexist pig, you misogynistic sexist pig. And be like, no, it's just the piece that's the slice we serve. Well, I want a bigger one. Well, then you have to pay double. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm just pointing this out. See, this comes from academia and the idea of indoctrinating people into using language, which is what the left always wants to do, which is to force people to comply with their ridiculous words and edicts and mandates. And ultimately, what the real plot is here is not for this woman to eat cake. You know what it is? It's for all those drugs like Ozempic and all the others to become something that is paid for by your taxpayer dollars, because you will accept all this and pay for it. And then Big Pharma wins. And I'll bet you, if you were to look closely at this, the people who are supporting this with the funding and the grants and everything else would be Big Pharma. Because the more that they can make this acceptable, the more they can make this a way of life, makes it harder for who to do his job? Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Donald Trump, and the entire Make America Healthy Again movement. That's right. See, if you can tie it into racism, sexism, misogyny, the usual left's nonsense, you can do that. You can cut MAHA off at its knees, which is what they want to do. And in addition to that, you can undermine the powers of Robert F. Kennedy. You can empower Big Pharma and Big Food. At the same time, keep poisoning our kids, all in the name of not fat shaming or misogynizing or feminizing. And in the end, you can then get pharma to make more money when they start putting your kids on weight loss drugs at 12 years old. There you go. So to Real Music and Jay, everything going on in the world, and we're talking about these kooks and Superman. Well, I mean, the trailer to Superman is really cool, but there's a lot more to these kooks than just what you think, as I just broke down for you. You're welcome. You're welcome, America. All right, Veneria, Dr. Mike Veneria is our top story sponsor of the hour. Go see him and use your year-end benefits before they expire. VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike has two offices to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, Dr. E.J. Antoni. Let's talk about the debt ceiling bill. Let's talk about the compromise that they've reached. Is it good? Donald Trump endorses it. Are the votes there? Democrats are freaking out, which is a very, very good sign. Fourth and final hour, straight ahead.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.